So central banks, you know, they buy and sell money at massive quantities. So let's see what the Fed says next week. They will have another dot plot. They will say 75 basis points this year. My guess is they'll keep it the same. I don't think they go down or up. I don't think they want to rattle the markets that much.
Get ready for a new episode of KP Talks Dollars and Cents. Learn financial literacy and get real-time updates on all things housing, finance, and real estate. So let's get started. Here's your host, Kevin Perenio.
Hey, it's KP coming to you from Eagle Vale Airport. It's been a year since I've been here, and it is Sunday afternoon. And for those out there celebrating Ramadan, Ramadan Mubarak. So I know it's have a happy Ramadan or good luck. I know you're fasting for a month, so good luck with that. I'm Catholic. I gave that up many years ago. So the NBA Midwinter Conference is here. No press is allowed. So before I go there and be part of that, I'm going to cut my Monday video early. I came here last year, was on a really good panel. Kirk Pfotenhauer, the chairman, vice chairman of First American, was the moderator. Bill Emerson, first time I ever met him, chairman of Rocket Holdings. And we also had Leslie Ali and Catherine Stewart. So Catherine from SWBC and Leslie, who is many, many years at both Home Point and Fannie Mae. So looking forward to seeing a lot of our peers up here at this three-day event. So what's going on? Jobs report came out, and it was interesting. We have a growth scare. So we have a growth scare now in our economy. And it's funny how these, bets on what the Fed's going to do and where rates are going to go, what the economy's going to go, how they're so data dependent. The headline number was really high on the jobs report. I think 200,000 was the estimate, and it came out 267,000 or 260,000 or something like that. But then 167,000 jobs were revised down from prior reports. So kind of netted out the effect there. And so labor continues to weaken, which is a sign of a slowing economy. And that's typically beneficial for mortgage rates because people start to get scared of taking risk on equities in the stock market and start to put money to work in safer assets like U.S. Treasuries and mortgage-backed securities. On that note, we had both the St. Louis, New York, and Atlanta Fed all revise their GDP estimates for the quarter down. That's a big deal. I mean, slowing growth, a growing economy, you know, that is one thing that the Fed is looking at to decide, you know, are 5.25 to 5.50 Fed funds rate being overly restrictive? Have we done the job? We know inflation's coming down. We have a humongous inflation report coming out this week. I believe it's on Tuesday. And that's the next CPI, Consumer Price Index. Remember, the January one was exceptionally high because of owner's equivalent rent, housing, and auto insurance. And, of course, also other things and services like stock subscription fees and whatnot. Now, will that trend of sustained or higher CPI continue with the February report that comes out in a couple of days? Or will we see that January was just a blip and inflation is still falling, which would match the fact that labor is softening and GDP is going down? You know, that's all signs of a slowing economy. It's less good news. And so that's the kind of thing that would force the Fed to act, which, by the way, no one expects them to make any cuts on March 20th of their meeting, but they are absolutely going to say in their dot plot what they're thinking. Now, the Fed board members, all the governors and all their staff, they're overwhelmingly I would say dovish, which is kind of another way of saying liberal. And, you know, it's interesting. I see people talk about the economy and how it's going great. It's not going great for the poor. It's not going great for a lot of people. And higher interest rates really hurts those that have less savings, have higher credit card debt, have student loan debt, want to get a new or used car even, and especially small business that can't take out new loans because it's so expensive. And, 55% of all jobs created in America are from small businesses with 50 or less employees. So, is the growth scare here? You know, between St. Louis, New York, and the Atlanta Fed, they're at like 0.9, 1.2, and 2.1% GDP. The average of the three is 1.8%. 2% is on-trend growth. Under 2 is slowing economy. So those are the kinds of things that could make the Fed possibly cut in May. Maybe they want to play it safe and they don't want to start the rate hike regime until June. But we have a lot of data to come out between now and the May 1st Fed meeting. So all eyes on the Fed next week, this week inflation report. And I will say, you know, one thing we've talked about a lot is the banking system and multifamily and failures of banks and how that could make the Fed make a move. Well, you know what? We just had a bank failure. We absolutely had a bank failure. Now, when New York, NYCB Bank, New York Community Bank, was halted in trading in the stock exchange for Mnuchin and Otting to come in and put up $1.05 billion to save that bank's balance sheet. Some looked at that as that bank failed and they saved it. And so some could say the banking crisis is here again, just like it was March a year ago. Beware the Ides of March with the bank failures we had a year ago. Well, that bank didn't fail, and the FDIC and our taxes were saved. Private capital stepped in, and that's been a big debate in D.C. Are they going to broker a bunch of private capital deals and make sure that banks like NYCB get capitalized? Well, that's what just happened, and that bank failure was saved. I don't know if it was going to actually fail. I don't know how, if there was going to be a run on stocks. I don't know where it was going to go. But that deal got done. The stock got halted in trading, and $1 billion was put up to save that bank. And by the way, the Fed repo facility, the short-term funding where people can basically use the Fed to sell back assets to help out their balance sheets, that stuff ends, I believe, this week. I think it's out of funds. So I think you're going to start to see some flight to safety. I think you're going to start to see, Treasury yields continue to come down. We've seen the 10-year yield come down quite a bit. I mean, massively from their peak in that range of 432. Maybe it gets down to the 3.89. And who knows what it'll take? Maybe it pushes back up with the higher inflation report. Maybe it goes back down. I'm not sure, but we're all watching. We're all data dependent. A lot of stuff happening. I'll get back to you. By the way, I got up very early, flew to LAX, missed my second daughter's quarterfinal state cup game. So it's not all fun and games when you come to these things. I missed a lot of shit in my family being on the road here. But Aria got an assist and they won 2-0 and they're on to the semis. And I'm going to push back my Vegas flight next week to ICE Experience and make sure that I do not miss her game next Sunday. So it's hard being on the road, but it's that time. It's conference season. Have a great one. Cheers. Hey, it's KP coming to you live from Eagle. Again, still here. There are 3 flights left to go out of this airport, and 2 of them are delayed. One of them is mine coming in from Dallas on American. You guys all know the woes of travel. Anyway, CPI and PPI out this week, and I'm going to talk about the neutral rate, real interest rate, and what the other central banks around the world are doing. So let's kind of break down just a little bit of the CPI and PPI. And remember, the whole Fed infatuation with inflation and being data dependent, I think has forced a lot of us to look at just inflation readings, which of course, you know, that's part of the story. But remember, we have sufficiently restrictive interest rates. So remember, the real interest rate, okay, like the Fed funds rate's 5.25 to 5.50, and it's been that way for some time now, but inflation was much higher. So every time the inflation rate goes lower, let's just say it's at 3, okay, annualized over a year, although it's at, let's call it 2.8 or 2.4 or 2.2 or even 1.8, over the last 3 or 6 months, depending on which measure you look at. But let's just use 3. So 5.25 minus 3 is 2.25 to 2.50. That's the real interest rate now. And like we've talked about in the past, it is hurting the poor, having higher interest rates. And so there's something called the neutral rate that is a place where the Fed wants to bring interest rates down to, so the economy, in their eyes, is steadily growing with maximum employment and low long-term interest rates with minimal inflation. So that's what they're trying to achieve, and they can achieve that by cutting interest rates. Now, I'm not going to throw in the towel on my May bet that I made a year ago, literally over a year ago. I placed May. I may be off by 6 weeks. I may be off by 12 weeks. I would have thought they would have cut by now because the rates are so high. But, inflation has been stubbornly sticky at the end. But why is it sticky? Okay, so CPI print came out a little hot earlier this week. Goods are getting more expensive. Gas has gone up a little bit. You look at the price, spot price for oil, you can watch that. But wage inflation has been pretty tame. So, wage inflation is 4.1, 4.2, not really growing at a massive clip. The core CPI obviously is pretty sticky. I think it's at 3.8, which is down from 3.9. So it did actually go down month over month, but only by 0.1%. So, but that's core. That excludes food and energy. And food's been relatively stable for a few months, but energy has started to creep up a little bit. PPI, which is the producer price index, as opposed to the consumer price index, came in pretty hot this morning. And those are inputs that usually end up creating a little bit of hot read on inflation in the PCE, which is the Fed deflator, the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, personal consumption expenditure. But 60% of that hot read came from housing in our CPI report and energy. And so the Fed is not going to build more houses. And so they may be making a an intentional decision to keep rates higher for longer. So because they might know, well, we all know in our business that if rates do go down, there'll be a flood of demand and the supply is just not there and home prices will go up again. Rents usually is the offset for higher home prices. So the long-term average, for home price appreciation, we're basically double what the long-term average is since COVID. And if a lot of multifamilies, and now remember the owner's equivalent rent number, they are going to use 5% more rental data from single-family houses that are rented. That's different from an apartment complex, a multifamily. So rents going down is an offset to home price appreciation, which overall in the housing figures of all these inflation data reports can help bring inflation down to the 2% target. Remember, the long-term target's 2.4 is what inflation normally is at for years and years and years. So I want to get to the central banks. They're all bond salesmen, right? They're salespeople, salespersons. They're all selling treasuries, gilts, euro dollars, yuan, yen, all the above, right? Aussie dollar. So, all these central banks, they all kind of move in concert together. And if you watch them, they've all paused. No central bank of any real significance in that's competing for institutional investment dollars in massive, massive amounts, trillions of dollars. They're all competing, but no central bank of any significance has continued to raise. So they're all kind of on hold. So who's going to flinch first? Who's going to cut first? That's a big deal. So we'll be watching them. Lots of central banks talking this month. The Fed speaks next week on the 20th. It's probably the biggest news of the month other than the PCE, the Fed deflator, okay? The personal consumption expenditure. By the way, that's a snowplow. Not sure if you've seen one of those. I don't know. There's a storm coming through here. Hope I get out. Pretty awesome town, city. Thatcher Gulch, Beaver Creek, all that good stuff. Anyway, so central banks, they buy and sell money at massive quantities. So let's see what the Fed says next week. They will have another dot plot. They will say 75 basis points this year. My guess is they'll keep it the same. I don't think they go down or up. I don't think they want to rattle the markets that much. Which, by the way, housing's up. Stock market's been pretty bullish.
Earnings have been coming in. Worker productivity is amazing everywhere. You know, we're getting a lot out of the people at PRMG. I'm sure a lot of us are extremely busy. We're very busy right now. Everyone, I'm sure, is busy. I was here at this midwinter conference for the NBA, and everyone's pipelines are up, and that's a good thing. A lot going on, NBA, as far as their advocacy, and it's an election year. It's important for them to, you know, be a voice for our entire industry. And then today I have my first board meeting with the Broker Action Coalition. So this is separate from AIM. It is a separate organization run by Katie and Brendan, Katie Sweeney and Brendan McKay. Great group, great leaders. There's a voice for the broker community. And I was asked to be part of the industry lender side of representation, me and Eddie Perez, Chris Benson, and Phil Shoemaker, who was also here this week. So lots going on, lots of advocacy. You know, DC is going to take center stage, obviously, later in the year. It's going to be pretty pretty crazy. The candidates are set. I'm not going to talk about them, although I had to listen to Chuck Todd speak for an hour the other night. Man, Trump is in his head. But I'm not getting into politics. I don't watch TV. Can't stand all the BS, the lies. I just like math, data, science, and the facts. Copper is up. How about that for a fact? 11-month breakout. That's a sign of strength in the economy. But the Fed from the St. Louis, San Francisco, and New York Fed all revised GDP down. So there's a little bit for everybody around here. No one has the right answer. Who knows? But I know we're all busy. It's spring purchase season. Spring has sprung. Have a fantastic, wonderful weekend. See you all at ICE Experience. And don't forget, sign up for the Mortgage Innovator Conference that I'm co-chairing together with Paul Gelati. I think this is the last week for early bird pricing. So get her done. It's going to be an awesome tech conference. The last best good one of the year coming up May 8th. Cheers.
You've been listening to KP Talks Dollars and Cents, a top-rated show for those who want to learn about the economy and mortgage environment. Tune in each week for more episodes, and please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Kevin Perenio does not render or offer to render personalized investment or tax advice through KP Talks Dollars and Cents. The information provided is for informational purposes only and does not constitute financial, tax, investment, or legal advice. For more info, follow KP Talks Dollars and Cents on all of our social channels.